Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:06 on this Wednesday. It's July 30th. Currently 64 degrees here in Old Town Park City. Heber City reporting 60 degrees under mostly sunny skies. And on the phone with us from the ABC Forecast Center, it's meteorologist Cedric Haynes. Good morning.
Happy Wednesday. It's time for your Wasatch Back forecast for your Wednesday. We're looking at mostly sunny skies, but watch out for some of that smoke and haze that's going to be lofted in the air. That could cause a few respiratory illnesses for some folks, so keep that in mind, along with slightly reduced visibility. We'll see those high temperatures in Park City climbing into the upper 80s for highs this afternoon. We'll see the highs climbing into the low to mid 90s for the Heber Valley. So it's going to be a hot, smoky, sunny afternoon across the area. As we go into your Thursday, you guessed it, we're looking at more of that smoke and haze continuing in the air. We're also looking at that elevated fire danger that will continue across the region as well. So keep that in mind and be extra cautious if you're going to be recreating outside. Otherwise, you're looking at high temperatures climbing into the mid-80s in Park City. We'll see those highs climbing into the lower 90s in the Heber Valley. As we move into your Friday, lots of sunshine is expected with highs in the mid-80s. As we go throughout your Friday afternoon in Park City, we'll see those highs in the low 90s for the Heber Valley. Moving into the weekend, mostly sunny skies are expected. High temperatures in Park City will climb into the mid-80s for highs. As you go into your Saturday afternoon, we'll be in the upper 80s to near 90 in the Heber Valley. We'll stay in the mid-80s there for us in the Park City for your Sunday afternoon with lots of sunshine and highs in the low 90s for the Heber Valley with lots of sunshine for your Sunday afternoon. Next week, we start off with more of the same, a lot of summer-like conditions out there. That's mainly dry and hot conditions across the area, so we'll see those highs, again, remaining into the low, maybe a couple of mid-80s out there for us, with highs in the upper 80s to lower 90s as we get towards the Heber Valley. Overall, looking like a pretty dry 7-day forecast with just a slight chance of a pop-up shower as we get towards the end of the work week. But for the most part, expect dry, breezy, and hot conditions to stick around across the area with some of that smoke and haze. Let's look at your latest forecast from the ABC 4 Forecast Center. I'm meteorologist Cedric Haynes.
Well, stay tuned. Coming up on the local news hour this morning, I'll be checking in with Kimball Arts Center Director Aldi Milliken, along with board member Stephanie Kimchi, with details about the new art center. Serve Park City founder Karen Marriott will have details about how to register for the second annual Park City Day of Service. And Park City Ski and Snowboard Executive Director Christy Hind, along with Development Director Heidi Volker, have details about a fundraiser on August 8th featuring the cooking of Adolf. Then stay tuned for The Mountain Life. Today's guests include Dr. Aaron Fisher with University of Utah School of Psychology and Psychiatry, talking about the challenges and triumphs of youth mental health. That's part of the monthly feature on The Mountain Life, Resilient Youth. Then journalist Star Vartan talks about the culture, anthropology, and science of the power of the female body, showing that strength is much more complex than bulging biceps. All of that coming up. The Mountain Life, of course, heard every Wednesday from 9 to 10. Taking a look at some local news now, Park City Rotary Club named a recently retired Park City High School music teacher and a People's Health Clinic OBGYN as its Citizens of the Year. KPCW's Christine Weller has more on that.
The Park City Rotary Club annually recognizes locals who have provided outstanding service to the community with its Professional Citizen of the Year and Volunteer Citizen of the Year awards. Music teacher and local legend Chris Taylor received the 2025 Professional Citizen of the Year Award. After over 30 years teaching in the Park City School District, Taylor retired this year and is moving to St. George. He thanked Park City community members for their support over the years.
I would not be nearly as successful as I could have been without the community of Park City. We're able to offer things to kids that nobody else can.
Taylor was honored for his time leading the high school band and the countless accolades he earned during his tenure. Along with inspiring hundreds of students, Taylor grew the band into a nationally recognized program. He also received a Lifetime Achievement Award this year from the Utah Bandmasters Association. Ecker Hill Middle School band teacher Zach Giddings said Taylor is revered statewide. Giddings remembers watching Park City High's jazz band with his friends.
We literally are like, we know the cool kids are in the Park City High Jazz Band. So we're going to go watch them. Actually, in my interview for the Ecker Hill School Band position, he was in there. And I said, hey, I've been fangirling for you since about 2007.
Dr. Merrill Lewin received the 2025 Volunteer Citizen of the Year Award. She was honored for her 8 years volunteering at the People's Health Clinic as an OBGYN, mentor, and board member. People's Health Clinic CEO Mari Lining said the clinic has a women's health program because of Lewin.
She has a deep conviction that all people deserve the very highest level of health care. And one of the first large stands she took at the clinic was ensuring that we had the level of providers necessary to make sure that was a reality.
Lewin said she originally studied art history, but during her last year of college, she decided to pursue women's health. Since then, she's had practices around the country. The best part about volunteering at the People's Health Clinic, Lewin said, is mentoring the next generation of medical professionals.
One of my gifts is being able to reach out and help patients be comfortable being very honest with me in an incredibly vulnerable situation. And that's part of why I love mentoring as well, because I feel like my colleagues can observe those skills and learn from them.
Lewin said she was honored to receive the award, especially in a city where there are so many dedicated volunteers. As part of their awards, Lewin and Taylor will serve as grand marshals at this year's Miner's Day Parade, September 1st. Christine Weller, KPCW News.
Well, after leaving Main Street in 2015, the Kimball Arts Center has found the location for its new permanent arts center. It's not Bonanza Park, but it's Kimball Junction as part of the Dakota Pacific development. In the studio with details, I have Kimball Arts Center Executive Director Aldi Milliken, along with board member Stephanie Kimchi. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Aldi, it's an about face. What's going on?
You know, the last year, the board and the staff have gone through a real strategic review of the organization, really to think about our priorities. What does our mission mean? What does our vision mean? And then coupled with that, about 6 months ago, we hired Paratus Group out of New York. They specialize in cultural organizations and buildings for cultural organizations. And during that time, we looked at our building mission. So how do we translate our mission into what the building should achieve for us? And we started to think about our location, and we started to think about our audiences. We started to think about all the different things that were really important for the organization. And basically, we started to grapple with that location piece, that's the idea where we wanted to be, how we could serve the art community here. And during that time, this option with Dakota Pacific came up. And we started to think about that option. We started thinking about the Bonanza Park option and what both those properties offered us. And ultimately, for financial reasons, for location reasons, for a connection to the rest of the state of Utah, the board signed an LOI with Dakota Pacific to start looking at that property more deeply.
Okay, LOI meaning a letter of intent.
Exactly.
So nothing's been formalized?
Well, that's a formal process, so that's the beginning of sort of the negotiations, if you will. Obviously, we wanted to look at financial terms. We wanted to look at the property, so we've done a serious property review. It's been studied by Alliance Engineering. We looked at all the different things about, you know, can we actually fit a 20,000 square foot building or whatnot on that site, and so. I think the board really wanted to be assured that this was a real thing, and so this is the start of that process.
Yeah, you mentioned the financial terms. Why is this a better place than what Bonanza Park could offer?
The financial terms that we were offered, Dakota Pacific had intended to donate some of this property that we would sit on next to Skull Candy. They were going to donate 1.1 acres. So they're going to donate 1.1 acres to the Kimball Arts Center. And then we started to look at a little bit about that footprint. And then we went back to them, and they actually offered us another half an acre right next door to that piece. So it becomes 1.62 acres. Of property, so that the price for that is under $500,000. So it's an incredible reduction on market values and a very good deal for the Kimball Arts Center.
Yeah, and how much more space as opposed to the Bonanza Park?
It's 1.62 acres total, so it's double the space. A lot of that, you know, you have to think about wetland setbacks, and so there is some limitations. It's on a hillside, so it has some, maybe not necessarily constraints, but it has some significant, like, interesting anomalies in the hill that actually serve the Kimball Arts Center, but might not serve a developer in the same way.
Yeah. So, Stephanie, I mean, the Bonanza Park 5 acres was supposed to be Park City's art and culture district jewel with Sundance, and now the Kimball, not part of it, it's just a another affordable housing development in Prospector with some multi-uses. Any concern that this comes as a big disappointment to Park City?
Well, of course we're concerned about, you know, the community and being a part of Park City proper. I don't think that this negates any sort of future collaboration with the city. I do think that for our mission at large, we will better serve the city and the community in Kimball Junction. You know, this has been a long road, and nobody has taken this lightly, and it's not just a spur-of-the-moment decision. We have really struggled with trying to be a significant and viable part of this community, and we're just at the point now where we need to move forward and make the best decisions for the Kimball Arts Center. So we're thrilled with what's happening. It really is an opportunity for us to expand and achieve our mission goals.
Yeah, and in the 10 years since you left Main Street, you've been in, what, just temporary?
We've been temporary sort of housing, if you will. You know, the board did look at Kimball Junction about 10 years ago, so there is a context here. This is not, it's like totally out of left field for the Kimball Arts Center. We looked at a lot of property, you know, at that time, 2016, 2017. And so we feel like that is like has been part of the legacy of this search in a way. But I will push back a little bit on what happens when the Kimball leaves the Bonanza parcel. I mean, there are great creative artistic resources. There's Park City Summit Arts Council. They have a presence on this location, and they can maybe elevate that presence. In many ways, we feel like there was so much happening on the Bonanza parcel that it, maybe we didn't serve everybody. Like, it was just too much. And so by us pulling away, maybe it, I think it gives the city an opportunity to really look at the vision of what they want to achieve. What are our priorities? You know, open spaces, parks, obviously, and affordable housing and other resources. So it really becomes a win-win. And then we've also left the door open, as Stephanie mentioned. Like, we've left the door open with the city to do a collaboration on this property. And then, of course, we have the Arts Fest. So we're not leaving. We're stronger. We're defining what our future looks like, and that's what is important with this move.
So I'm assuming you gave city leaders the heads up before today.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we've been talking with the city. We've had some good. We've got great open dialogue with the mayor, and that will continue.
Yeah. What was the reaction?
Well, I think the reaction was the same as Stephanie mentioned. All of us, I mean, I think we're a little sad that this original 2017 vision didn't happen, but that changed. And I think, you know, the strong adapt, right? And we are adapting and really looking at an opportunity that I think serves us best and serves the community best, serves our arts community better.
Yeah, and once at at Kimball Junction, does that mean that the art festival would come off of historic Main Street? I mean, you'll have a Main Street there.
That's not our intent at all. Let's just make that clear. This is an incredible site for the Arts Fest. We hope that this continues. We want to be sitting at the table with the city as we go through the master plan for Main Street. We want to sit down with the city and talk about, you know, all the issues that make a successful arts festival. So that is not on the table. And I think what happens is we expand, really. We think about how do we unify Park City. Artists don't really care about our zip codes, right? And that's what a lot of this sort of boils down to. Are we in 060? Are we 098? It just doesn't matter for us. We want to be a strong, sustainable, viable arts organization that will serve the community here.
So any concern that Dakota Pacific may not happen, or certainly not in the time frame that you would like, given the recent lawsuit and the possibility that the development doesn't happen as planned?
That is absolutely a concern, and we want to make sure that we are empathetic to the community and the tension and that this has caused. You know, we understand that there are issues that need to be resolved. You know, I would also say that no development, not change is hard, and no development is perfect, but this one offers us the best opportunity. We feel like with the county manager's decision on Monday that this is heading in a direction, and we want to be on the inside of how to make this a better resource, a better development for all citizens. Again, recognizing that it's not going to be perfect.
Well, as you know, there's certainly been a lot of controversy around the Dakota Pacific development. And I guess why that decision to partner with them? I mean,
Well, we're part of, this is all logistical stuff, but we're part of their MPD, so that is a non-negotiable. And since they own the property, they're donating the property to the Kimball Arts Center, and then we're purchasing this at a severely reduced rate. They understand the value of the Kimball Arts Center, so it's both a partnership in a way from a legal development standpoint, but it's really, they're allowing the Kimball Arts Center to do our own thing. We will hire our own architect. We will work on the land in our way. Our board is in control of this project, and we're capitalizing on that opportunity for the arts community.
So realistically, how soon could this happen? Again, the future of Dakota Pacific could be in the courts for years.
You know, we hope that's not the case, obviously, but there was a lot, maybe there was a little bit more clarity as far as the direction of where this development was going. You know, let's also be mindful of the fact that we need to start our capital campaign. We need to start to finish off that preparatus project that I mentioned. So what do we want to achieve? How do we want to achieve it? We have not talked to architects. We're working on building mission and vision right now. And so we also need time to develop that those core like architectural features that will serve the community. But without a defined property, we could not begin that process.
Yeah, so how will this new space change what the Kimball Arts Center is able to offer to the community?
Again, we were defining the values of the property, so we're articulating this as a sense from our standpoint. Obviously, we have to marry our vision to the property itself, but connections to nature, accessibility, being a space for all of Utah are top of mind for us as we go forward.
Yeah, and Stephanie, I mean, what would you like the community to understand about this decision?
You know, I think I'm the longest standing board member, and this has been a long road, right? And none of our decisions have been taken lightly, and we have been very thoughtful and very intentional about our future and how we best serve the community. Again, we're in the service business, right? I mean, the Kimball Arts Center provides a valuable service to the community as well as to its visitors, and we want to maintain that integrity. You know, it's been an emotional roller coaster, really, for the board to kind of be where we are now. And I think we're thrilled. We've had an incredible captain of the ship. Aldi has been amazing. He's been a gift. He was our COVID gift. And, you know, it has been a lot of hard work on his part and his patience in learning our community and the processes we go through here. So, you know, I would say the board right now is unanimously excited. And I think when the community starts to engage with our vision, they'll be excited too. And we say that with a little bit of a heavy heart. You know, everybody intended on being in the 84060 and remaining and creating a vibrant arts and culture district here. I do want to echo what Aldi said. We have so many amazing arts and culture nonprofits and organizations that this could create a great opportunity for a live, work, play environment, for something to happen there that maybe would be just something that we collaborate with, help program. But as far as our sticks and bricks and our big home, we're just thrilled about the opportunity that we have ahead.
Yeah, given the space, additional space you have, that means that the center can be bigger than maybe what was originally intended at Bonanza?
It gives us a lot of flexibility. I mean, it gives us flexibility for outdoor sculpture. It gives us flexibility for even sitting sort of on the grass. It gives us a flexibility for, like, connecting. People don't necessarily know the site, but I would want to invite people to go due west of the Skull Candy building to look at the hillside there. And so it artists could work, you know, like in the grasses in front. We have unobstructed views to the Utah Olympic Park. So the sight lines, I mean, it's just incredible. It's a wonderful place. And then there's the other amenities, you know, with parking, the transportation lots, the library next door, the senior housing on this property. I mean, these are all things that will make this site and this opportunity much more dynamic for us. And we started to also think about, like, our staff driving by Kimball Junction all the way into Park City as being part of the problem. Like, people talk about traffic. So then we're actually asking, you know, 95% of our staff members to come all the way in. And that just felt wrong for us. So when we really started to unpack this, you know, the all the different elements of this, we thought that this was the most sustainable choice, the appropriate choice, and the best choice for our future.
Okay. But I think I realistically, when would we see construction start?
That's a really a TBD, right? We can't actually say that. But again, we have 2 years of work to do all the things that we need to do to make this happen. So we need the time as an organization. And it just, it you know, you I think we want to get it right. And we want to keep the momentum that we have right now and push that forward. We wanted people to know during the Arts Fest, because we know a lot of people are going to be talking about this. And I think this is the moment for us to really start to dream and start to sort of think about the opportunities we have here. And let's not get bogged down by other things that have really held us back for a while. So we're looking forward. The board is excited. The staff is excited. Our arts community is excited. And let's take that energy and go and realize our dreams.
And what about your current landlord? How long can you stay where you are? Do you have to make another move?
Just a shout out to Mark Fisher and the Boneyard.
Absolutely.
They've been very supportive. You know, that's a TBD. I mean, there's going to be some changes in that property as well. We're flexible. But Mark, you know, as a community member, obviously knows about this decision and has been kept in the loop and is supportive of the Kimball Arts Center and is supportive of the arts. And we really appreciate the work that he's done for us.
All right. I'm not sure if it's live yet, but you do have a website that you're planning for people to follow along?
Yeah, we have KimballArtsCenter.org, and people are, you know, the press release and information will be there. And then, you know, I just like to invite people, especially people who are maybe wanting to sort of engage with us a little bit more, who have some issues that they want to discuss with me and with us. I want to invite them. You can send me an email, aldi.millican@kimballartcenter.org, and let's have a meeting out there at the site, and we can dream together instead of like letting this play out on social media or other formats. Let's engage person to person. We have an extraordinary opportunity, and let's try this together.
Big week with this news, and of course the Kimball Arts Festival happening Friday. I got an email. You're still looking for another 100 plus volunteers.
We're always looking for volunteers. I mean,
that's nice of you to volunteer, Leslie. Yeah. Thank you.
Leslie's always there. I mean, we know that a lot of people. Stephanie will be there. I mean, it's an incredible event, and you know, there's 300 already volunteers. There'll be 100 more. I think we're in good shape, but we could always use more help. It's exciting. We've got 200 artists on Main Street, music, of course, the Locals Night.
Can Locals still register? Is that still open?
Locals can still register. Yep, thank
you. Even outside the gate, they can. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's all there. It's an amazing, you know, three-day weekend of celebration of the arts.
Okay. Again, Locals Night Friday. Otherwise, I think tickets $15 each day. You can buy a weekend pass. Are those still available?
That's right. All the weekend passes are still available. And so,
I do want to mention that, you know, the only money that the Kimball Arts Center makes is not through artist sales. It's through the ticket gate. And so we really appreciate everybody understanding that that's the donation that makes the Arts Festival happen. So we're not trying to harass people. We're trying to survive as an organization and to continue a successful arts festival. So please feel free to buy tickets and feel free to donate more if you choose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's a wonderful, you know, three-day weekend. Of course, we've got Monster Draw coming up. We've got a current exhibition happening all the way through September 14th. And then some amazing, you know, exhibitions into the future. So there's a lot of stuff happening for us.
Okay. Aldi Millican, Stephanie Kipchi, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Leslie.
The Park City School District's mountain bike team is working to make the sport accessible to all students in the community. KPCW's Jonas Wright reports this team wants to increase diversity through financial assistance so that all kids feel represented.
Park City School's mountain bike team former captain Victoria Rosales grew up in Utah and never got involved in sports, let alone mountain biking.
Growing up in Park City, I've always wanted to join teams, but I was always intimidated by like not seeing like other Latino kids, so I never really joined any sports growing up.
That changed when the head coach of the team, Pete Stoughton, came into her Latinos in Action class to recruit students. One of the team's coaches, Heather Sims, says all kids should have the chance to represent Park City High School as part of a team. While other high school sports may have competitive tryouts, she says any student can join the mountain biking team. So one of the organization's top priorities became ensuring the percentage of Latino students on the team was equal to that of the community. She estimates the cost, including league fees, bikes, and travel uniforms, adds up to about $1,000 per student. Sims realized that price tag was prohibitive for some students and started helping them apply for financial assistance. Of the team's 21 low-income athletes, 16 are Latino. Ramirez says if it weren't for the financial help, she could not have joined the team and eventually become its captain. She says financial assistance has allowed these students to love a sport they otherwise might not be able to afford. Families can apply for financial assistance starting in April before practices begin June 1st. Escucha esta historia en español en kpcw.org para en español. Jonas Wright, KPCW News.
Jamie Hewlett, a candidate for Heber City Council, is facing a new court case. KPCW's Grace Dorfler reports that she's been charged with alleged child abuse.
Wasatch County prosecutors filed a new case in 4th District Court Tuesday, charging 49-year-old Heber resident Jamie Smith Hewlett with one count of child abuse with injury, a Class A misdemeanor. This is the fourth court case involving Hewlett since May. The other cases involve alleged stalking and criminal trespassing. Hewlett did not respond to KPCW's request for comment Tuesday. All four cases appear to stem from an ongoing dispute with the mother of Hewlett's stepchildren. A child abuse neglect report filed with the new charge states the children described alleged physical abuse by Hewlett, as KPCW reported in June. The same report was cited by prosecutors when they charged Hewlett's husband, Michael Eckloff Hewlett, with alleged retaliation against a witness June 24th. Jamie Hewlett's other three pending court cases include a stalking petition filed by the children's mother June 9th, a stalking misdemeanor charge filed June 23rd, and a criminal trespassing charge from May 18th. In response to a June 25th email from KPCW about the cases, Hewlett wrote, quote, "The information being circulated is entirely false and defamatory," end quote. She said she plans to address the, quote, falsehoods in court, where she says the truth will be established with evidence. Hewlett will appear in 4th District Court August 18th for the new child abuse case and one of the stalking cases. A hearing for the other stalking case is planned for September. Jamie Hewlett is a candidate for Heber City Council. This is her third run for office in the past 3 years. Her husband, Mike Hewlett, is running for mayor. Grace Dorfler, KPCW News.
Part of a controversial Kimball Junction development could provide more housing for residents 55 or older. KPCW's Connor Thomas reports on efforts to bring memory care and assisted living back to Summit County.
Dakota Pacific CEO Mark Stanworth says his firm has met with 4 or 5 different continuing care facility operators in the last few months. Stanworth says Dakota Pacific, which is looking to build a development with some senior housing in Kimball Junction, has commissioned a study regarding what the demand is for senior services locally.
Everyone is interested, believes that there is an opportunity. It's borderline. Labor is a concern, for sure.
Stanworth was speaking at a public hearing Monday where Summit County Manager Shane Scott approved the development. The Summit County Council approved it once before, in December, but that approval has been challenged by a citizen referendum. State legislators subsequently passed a law during this year's general session to make sure Dakota Pacific could break ground. It said the development had to be approved by county staff, which happened Monday. The development will have 885 total housing units, about half of them for workforce, as well as an expanded transit center, park and ride, and businesses around the Skull Candy building, which Summit County will repurpose to replace its existing library and offices. One of the businesses could be an option that allows older residents to age in place, even as their healthcare needs change. But if that falls through, Dakota Pacific must then reserve 90 market-rate housing units elsewhere in the development for people 55 or older. Residents don't currently have continuing care options locally since the only such facility in the county in Oakley shut down last year. The nearest replacements were in Salt Lake City and Wasatch County. Meanwhile, the population continues to age. Summit County's working age population has plateaued, but the non-working age population hasn't. County staff predict more residents will be over 65 than under 14 by the end of the decade. Summit County is a financial supporter of KPCW. Connor Thomas, KPCW News.
Well, last year, a Park City woman spearheaded a new community service initiative called Serve Park City. Park City's second annual 9/11 Day of Service and Remembrance is happening again. More than 9 volunteers last year helped with some 30 service projects. This year, Karen Marriott hopes to have more than 1,000 volunteers help with these 30 projects. She joins me now on the phone to tell us how to help. Good morning, Karen. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Leslie. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so maybe just start with the mission of Serve Park City and how it all began.
Well, it started Serve Park City, we started about a little over a year ago, and we had this idea as Park City Humanitarians, a group I started last May in 2024, and is just our mission is to build community through service. And we find that, like, service is something, it's not political, it's just supporting our community, and when we work alongside our community members, we feel more connected, and that's kind of our goal, is to support the nonprofits, get to know the people in our community, and do something good together in remembrance of 9/11, which is already an established National Day of Service. And so we call it Serve Park City. This is our second annual. It'll be on September 13th. It's a Saturday, and it starts at 8 in the morning at the city park. We'll have a breakfast sponsored by Hearth and Hill and the market, and Julie Hopkins providing the donuts and coffee by Bagel Den. Then we'll have a little short program, and then everybody will head out to 35 different projects all over the Park City area.
Wow. So can you talk about some of those key service projects planned for this year's event?
Yes, we have, just a wide variety. We, like last year over at the Park City Hospital, they have the Blair Education Center, and that was a great location for lots of indoor projects. So there was weaving homeless mats, there was with Stitching Hearts, there was sorting eyeglasses with Hope Alliance. Dream Makers is an organization that supports kids aging out of foster care, writing notes to them. Then we had projects like Utah Open Lands had projects that were pulling weeds and planting pollinators. And this year we have lots of roadside cleanups. Deer Valley's planting trees. Fetch Cares is creating a little garden for a little pet cemetery. The Christian Center has cleaning pantries and warehouses. Swanner's doing kind of a nature reserve cleanup. My favorite, the Glenwood Cemetery, there's doing a cleanup there as well. Peace House has some, there's a lot of cleanups this year. So if you're looking for some real put your back into it work, you know, People's Health Clinic is another kind of indoor project putting together hygiene kits. And JFS is actually putting together some hygiene kits also. So that's an idea. You can go to justserve.org/serveparkcity. And Just Serve is a free website for volunteers and for people that are looking for volunteers. And you go to that page, justserve.org/serveparkcity, and then you click on projects, and you'll just see sorted in there all the projects that are for September 13th. We'll have our logo with the nonprofit that we're associated with or the organization. And they'll all say Serve Park City 2025, and you sign up online, and we've got projects for 1,000 people, and it was such a blast last year. We're really looking forward to a great attendance this year.
Yeah. What do you hope volunteers take away from their experience on that September 13th?
I just think when we are doing something as part of our community, we feel more invested in our community. And I hope they feel like they get to know some of these organizations, some of the missions of some of these organizations. They get to just get to know other people in their community and just feel more invested in where they live and who their neighbors are.
All right. So you're really, at this point, just looking for those volunteers, huh?
Yes, we are encouraging all of our projects are uploaded right now, and you have to register on Just Serve to be able to, volunteer for a project, but it's free, and it's, really simple, and then you just can check it. The projects will fill up. A lot of the projects, all the projects are for 10 and more, and some of them come out of the roadside cleanups go up to 100 people. So if you have a book club, if you have a ski group, if you have, a family reunion, if you have, a work gathering, I mean, it would be great if groups wanted to sign up, and it really is a first come, first serve. We do encourage everybody to sign up online because they'll fill up, and we don't want to have people showing up, like 50 people showing up for a project that has 10 people that's already filled. So just to make it a productive day for everybody. Like, for instance, the Senior Center has tons of projects happening that day, and that would be a really fun project. Even Mountainlands is painting one of their properties, and I think they're just hoping to get paint on the building. Like, if I was a teenager and I had a group of friends, I would go sign up for that. So there's just lots of opportunities to serve. Great way to get out and be in the community. We'll have a really nice moment of remembrance at the city park after the breakfast. And that last year we had fantastic bagpipers, and we had a bugle play, and we heard from one of our firemen and gave a nice message. And it was just about a 10-minute program. So that is really worthy of attendance too. And that'll all happen in City Park before people head to the projects from 9:30 to 12. So it's 2.5 hours of just doing stuff within our community. It'll be a wonderful day again.
Okay. Now, is it too late for other nonprofits to register what their needs are, or are you full?
No, we've reached out to most of them, and I mean, all that we know of. And so, but if other groups decide to join in, they just aren't necessarily on our poster or on our promotions, but we can absolutely add them into justserve.org/serveparkcity and add their projects. So, yes, you know, up till like the week before, and we're just trying to promote these so that people are aware of them. We're reaching out to Rotary Clubs, to schools, just to a whole variety of different groups. And, you know, we hope the realtors will post it in their newsletters and just really engage the community. It really had a great feeling last year. Everybody, it just was such a positive experience, you know, for almost everybody I spoke with. And I went around to about 18 of the projects last year. So we just hope that people will get signed up. If you're a nonprofit that hasn't done it yet, reach out to us at serveparkcity@gmail.com and let us know that if you want to add a project, and we'll just register your organization. Because when you first go to justserve.org/serveparkcity, you'll see a list of all the nonprofits that are registered on Just Serve. You can click on the one you like, and you'll find their Just Serve project, or you can just click projects, and you'll see all of the different projects. It's also a great resource for, you know, like Kimball Arts Center was looking for volunteers for the Arts Festival. Their project's listed on there. It's not part of the day of service. It's just ongoing service projects. So it's a great resource to use all year long.
Okay. Well, save the date. Of course, September 13th is the day of service here, Park City's second annual 9/11 day of service and remembrance. Breakfast starts at 8 o'clock at City Park, and then just 2.5 hours of your day. Karen, anything else you wanted to mention?
No, but thank you so much. Thanks for helping us get the word out. And you'll see our posters popping up in the next week all over town. And if you want some information about it, just shoot us an email at serveparkcity@gmail.com. It's hosted by Park City Humanitarians, which is a group we meet every other month at different locations. And we're just service-oriented. And you can shoot me an email if you want to be added to our Google group. We send out notes of different nonprofits that have immediate needs. And it's been really a great way to connect volunteers with nonprofits that are doing good.
Okay, Karen Marriott, thanks for your time this morning.
Okay, thanks so much, Leslie.
Karen Marriott, again, the founder of Serve Park City, the Park City Humanitarians, as the organizer of Park City's second annual 9/11 Day of Service and Remembrance. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. Park City Ski and Snowboard, along with Chef Adolph and Bowden and ski team supporter Bill Engel, are hosting a backyard bash to raise money to support our local ski athletes and snowboard athletes. In the studio from Park City Ski and Snowboard, I have Executive Director Christy Hine, along with Development Director Heidi Volker. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Good
morning.
Christy, maybe just start, I mean, for those who may not know, but just briefly explain what Park City Ski and Snowboard is and your mission.
So Park City Ski and Snowboard serves roughly 1,200 local athletes in all aspects of winter skiing and snowboarding. We've been around really only about 8 years, but the legacy clubs have a long, long history here, starting with our Alpine Park City Ski Team, which is 50 years old, and lots of local alums. But we've got kids that really show up from all over the community, all walks of life, who want to progress in sport, and we hope that they also progress in life.
Okay. Heidi, do you want to tell us about the upcoming fundraiser. It's happening Friday, August 8th.
Yes, at Mike Engels. He's a great supporter of our program. It's our first event of our kickoff fundraising season, I would claim it to be. And we are hoping to bring in local community, maybe those who aren't parents and members of our club, to get to know us. We'll have former Olympians there, Peekaboo Street, Ted Ligety, Stephen Nyman, Billy DeMond, our locals that you always see around town that makes Park City so special. We'll have some of our young children there to meet and greet with the guests, and it's a great beginning. As you mentioned, Adolf is there, who's such a big fan of winter sport, and he's supporting us, and Mike, and it's a great event, that just a local casual backyard barbecue with an auction, and it will just be very casual, but tons of fun with some music, and a great way to start the winter season, even though we're in August. We're hoping for snow.
Okay.
Not that night, but for the big win for the winter.
So tickets can be found, what, online? How?
The easiest way is just to go to our website, parkcityss.org, and our two newest events, our upcoming events, will be right there on the front page.
Okay, so how did the idea of partnering with Adolf come up for this event?
Well, as we start planning back in April and our ideas, you know, we had last year, we did the event, and as we always plan an event, you always want to try to do something different. And I think Mike actually talked about, would love to see Adolf just in casual conversation, and we piped up and said, well, wouldn't that be great to have him come and cook and, you know, reemerge, and since he's such a big fan of skiing.
Well, of course, a well-known figure in Park City, his restaurant, very beloved restaurant, closing back in 2021. So can you give us kind of a sneak peek of the menu or the culinary experience the
guests
will have?
Yes, of course. So we're going to be doing the traditional bratwursts and also the German potato salad will be on hand. And look, this is a community event. Anybody who cares about winter sport in this community and wants to support our very aspirational goal of making sure that there is a local athlete on the podium in the 2034 games. Every single one of our athletes is subsidized, so fundraising is super important. But one of the things that Mike has really done is put together a little group of, you know, local diehards for the Olympics and for winter sport who really are excited about the fact that we have, you know, programs here that could be putting local kids on podiums. So, you know, Adolf will come, we'll have him in the house, and we'll also have his great fare and food. It's an opportunity for those who really miss the restaurant to come. So it's a community event, there'll be a DJ, and anybody who cares about kids or local sports should really come and join us.
Okay, for those who have been jonesing the salad dressing.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a nice, it's, you know, if you're lucky enough to ever been at Adolf's restaurant or travel, you know, it's a nice European fare to enjoy that evening. And it's a great event because to buy a ticket, it's $50. So you can't find that these days.
Yeah, so is there going to be a cap then on the number of tickets sold?
You know, there probably technically is a cap, but right now there's a little bit of space and room. So I think that there will be a push this week for folks who want to come and join. $50 for food and drink and entertainment and an opportunity to connect with the local Olympians, who also include Heidi sitting next to me and many of our staff who are Olympians as well. So, and the kids, you know, who will be on hand to talk about their experience and how important the club is to them and to their personal journeys and growth and education and all the character building that they get when they're part of our club.
Okay, so does the money just go into the general fund then to pay what's
yes.
needed, or is it specifically for scholarships or travel?
It's to help support the programs. It's very expensive, as you know, Leslie, to keep coaches in jobs that feel like careers. We have an incredible roster of coaches, I think the best in the country, and I really trust them, and it takes a lot to make sure that they're happy and to bring the programs to the kinds of facilities that we enjoy, both at UOP and Deer Valley and Park City Mountain. We've got lots of partners here in town, but it is not an inexpensive endeavor to deliver the highest level of programming to local kids.
Yeah. And to remind everyone, this is for all the sport. It's not just Alpine. We're one club with eight different sports under our header now. So all our fundraisers are for every sport, every kid.
Okay. Let's see. I guess what are some of the other exciting things happening at Park City Ski and Snowboard? Do you have kids on snow at this point? Or
we do have kids on snow. We have kids who just came back from Chile on the alpine side. We've had kids at Mount Hood all summer across disciplines. There will be another trip to Chile sort of at the end of next month, and then athletes will also go off to Sasve in Europe. So they do chase snow at the higher levels in the FIS programs. Locally, we've got kids who are in day camps up at UOP, and we've got kids who are on camping trips sort of regionally on the cross-country side. So we do try and keep our athletes active all year long, whether it's on a mountain bike or skates, you know, roller skiing, camping, hiking. We try and keep everybody active, and we try and keep the community connected. It's really important to us that athletes connect and feel like they are part of teams. So it's one of the reasons that we keep programming going all summer long.
We keep them busy.
Yep. keep them off the phones.
Yeah. So where can people, again, learn more or make a donation maybe if they can't attend?
Yeah, exactly. So just go to our website, parkcityss.org, and when you hit our landing page, you'll see the Mike Engel event, you'll see a Donate Now button, and you'll also see an invitation to attend a concert that Brian Freeman is going to host for us, and a benefit concert for the club. Brian Freeman, of course, is one of our alumni who's also a musician, and he'll be playing on
September 12th at the Whedon Ranch.
September 12th at the Whedon Ranch, which is a private estate up in the canyons. Everybody is also welcome to that, and there's information about that event on the website as well. But I think that's going to be a really great end of summer cap off, which will be really a wonderful night of music and community.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Leslie.
You bet. Christy Hine, Heidi Volker, thank you.
Thanks, Leslie.
Park City-based Powder is continuing to diversify its business model by adding contracts with the National Park Service. KPCW's Parker Malatesta has more.
Powder is the owner of several ski resorts, including Snowbird, Woodward Park City, Colorado's Copper Mountain, and Mount Bachelor in Oregon. Powder CEO Justin Sibley said they're actively working through transactions to sell Silver Star in British Columbia and Eldora Mountain Resort, which is about 20 miles west of Boulder, Colorado.
You know, we're trying to achieve the objectives of our shareholders and stakeholders, and we're family-owned, and there's a lot of family members. We want to make sure that everyone has optionality, but we really want to stay doing what we're doing, and this was the best way to achieve that end.
Sibley said Powder is retaining Mount Bachelor after listing the Bend, Oregon resort for sale last year. The company recently won contracts with the National Park Service to manage concessions and lodging services at Zion and Death Valley National Parks. Sibley said those new ventures help diversify Powder's portfolio and retain employees.
It gives us the opportunity to move people who want to stay with us year-round and get benefits, et cetera, from a ski resort in the wintertime to a national park in the summertime.
The CEO indicated the company remains interested in pursuing more contracts with the National Park Service.
You know, the parks here in Utah are high on our list as they come up because they're very close to home, and all of us are very familiar with them and passionate visitors.
At Snowbird, Sibley said the Oktoberfest season has been expanded and will begin August 9th this year. The company is also constructing a new mid-mountain lodge at the Little Cottonwood Canyon Resort, which replaces the long-running Mid-Gad restaurant. Parker Malatesta, KPCW News.
And 11 years ago, a Park City family founded the Joseph James Morelli Legacy Foundation that has raised nearly $1 million to honor their son and brother who died in a tragic car accident. Now that endowment would be transferred to the college that Morelli was attending, Montana State University. Morelli's mom, Dr. Barbara Watsko, says that when Joe passed away, friends and family members wanted to help. Her son was in high school before he was diagnosed with dyslexia, and she thought that there were likely many other students who struggled like her son did.
Clearly, there's a huge unmet need. Each year, we get about 350 applicants, a lot of kids here in Utah, Park City, but also nationwide.
Dr. Karina Beck, the vice provost for Montana State University, says that they're grateful to accept the legacy, which aligns with the school's own mission.
The focus is to educate the sons and daughters of our state, regardless of background or high school GPA. ACT scores. So the idea is that we want more students involved in higher education, not less.
The final foundation celebration will be held August 10th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Shed at Promontory. There'll be food and drinks and live music. It's free to attend, though donations are encouraged. A link with more information is online at kpcw.org. You've been listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW Park City.